emotional body. So I've got a, one of. Have you meditated before much? Have you been in a meditation class? Hello.
Me?
Yeah.
I've already done my own sort of meditation.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, because in case you don't understand anything, just tell us. Tell me. Yeah, that's fine. So I'm doing mostly focusing on the emotional energy, emotional body. You know, like an aura, there's different layers, and so I'm calling them energy bodies. And the emotional body, another name often given to it is astral body, if you might see that term. Do you recognise
it? Yes, astral travel.
Yeah, good. So, then firstly, we'll focus on lightening the emotional body. What should, if you think in terms of aura, colour, and consistency, and you think that each subtle energy has a colour, so your aura, your colour might be a combination of the colours of your etheric body, astral, mental, and spiritual bodies, but the astral, emotional body, particularly has lots of colour relevant to it, because it's made up of light. Light, as in, you know, white light. So, in terms of the nature of the astral, it should ideally be translucent. I mean, of course, we're saying it's invisible anyway to the physical eyes, but if you were to look at it psychically or in your imagination, it should be as translucent, mirror-like, or fine as it possibly can. People who are emotionally dense or have all kinds of emotional negativity or karma, or, you know, stuck memories, emotions, I mean, that heavies the astral body, emotional body, makes it more opaque. You know what I mean by opaque? It's like the difference between looking at two bottles of fluid, and one fluid is milky, you can't see all the way through it, and the other one is just clear water-like. If it is translucent, you can make it more translucent by your imagination. And as you project that, you're automatically lightening it as well, refining it. So, and that's a big difference to your emotional feeling, how you feel about yourself, life, everything. It's the difference between, say, feeling anger, which might make your emotional body opaque, to feeling grace and forgiveness, which makes it more translucent. Eventually, your astral body then becomes composed of angel substance. Because if you look at the astral body of angels, they are translucent. The higher the angels, the more translucent they are. And it's like looking at butterflies, the wings of a butterfly, where the colours on there are have a sheen, rather like, as it, and you can see it through it, rather like the images or colour you might see through, you know, a mirror, like stained glass windows, which are lightly coloured. So the light can shine through the wings of that butterfly and shine through your astral body. If that happens, of course, then your astral body merges with that of angels, and you take on their emotional nature or substance. At the same time, the coloration itself should therefore be less muddy. You know, there's a big difference between someone's astral, which might be a nice pink red, and which is also translucent like stained glass pink, compared to someone who's got a more muddy, darker crimson red, okay, which would be more like anger or passion. The other one might be more joy and love. So making it translucent means also improving the coloration and taking out some of the greys and the browns and so on. We've done this kind of meditation before, but this time we'll deepen it by merging with the astral energies of angels. And you can imagine they've got translucent wings of colour. As that happens, and we'll add to this maybe with a pause or just carry on, your emotional body can then live in a different space. At the same time as you being here, part of your emotional body, you mentioned astral travel, will actually live with the angels in the higher astral plane, as you're also living here. It's like a bilocation, being in, and a continuity of your emotional body with the spiritual part of you up there with here. And it can feel then it's at home in the higher astral planes with the angels. Okay? Does that make sense? Of course, people who don't have a part of their astral body there, or emotional body there, will often live their life feeling they're never feeling settled. They don't feel they're at home anywhere. And although part of that sense of grounding is to ground on earth, it's also to ground into the right places up there. Okay, so let's start with this. So, visualize then. For a moment, just put your attention mentally on your third eye, between your eyes, brow chakra, and also on your breath, and spend a few moments just letting go of the day. Being here and now. Then imagine in a sense of you've got a column of light, and that column of light is all around you going up into the spiritual world. And I'd like you to imagine hovering. You can make it as high as you want or as close as you want, but above you are winged angels circling above you now. There may be many of them. Hundreds or thousands, or just a few. But feel or imagine those beautiful angels all circling above you with brilliant, dazzling, coloured, translucent wings and bodies radiating that colour and light. Imagine now, around you is, and through you is your emotional body, a part of your aura. You can call it your emotional or astral body. Imagine your astral body flying up. And as it flies up, it meets the angels, joins them, as if your emotional body can take on the same translucent colours and appearance as that of the angels. Blend your emotional body with them. imagine or sense how much the angels rely on you to lighten, to elevate your emotional body. That living in emotional heaviness or density, negativity, keeps you separated from those angels. So really try to feel how positive emotions lift your emotional body up to the angels. As you come back down to earth, feel that you are more like a cloud suspended into your body. Your emotional body remains light as you come out. Emotional freedom or astral freedom. Have you ever had that feeling in your life? Hopefully you have, and it will increase, of feeling free, you know, free from a bind, from an oppression, free from a contract, or a duty, or an obligation. You know, often people do that when they leave a commitment, to like a divorce proceedings or something, now, or an oppressive job. Now, that is when a cord breaks, of course. Now, in the astral plane, your astral body has got a lot more cords with many scenarios, contracts, than you can see. Most people's astral bodies are very tied down. In the astral body, you can see it more, the many cords linking to all kinds of situations and people that aren't even of this life and you're yet to activate. So you don't even know, consciously, you know, most of the binds and the cords attached to your astral body. It also means that in the astral plane, if you try to astrally travel or fly wherever you want to go, whether in consciously, in your unconsciously in your dream time or in your meditations, that you can't, because the cords are literally binding you along certain paths and they're closing down all kinds of realities that you can't access. Whereas in the astral plane, there are many more possibilities that you could go down or go along if you weren't so bound. That would translate in your physical life on earth, because it's all interconnected, as a great deal of sense of freedom and potentiality and many more abilities and opportunities in your life. So this meditation, because you know intention counts and what you project, is will project into your astral body. Imagine a higher part of your astral body, emotional body, superconsciously, and we are project to it and ask all karmic cords to be cut. No, it doesn't matter that they're all cut. You ask for all of it, and what can be cut will. And all binds that are limiting the flow of your astral body in the astral plane. And try to visualize that you can go anywhere after that. Okay. Now in this meditation, it's a form of astral flying, So imagine that your emotional astral body within and around you also has wings. That you can fly or travel astrally. And imagine above you, through your third eye, that you can see or project into the astral plane, and that it's a magical plane. Things really happen in many, many ways that you cannot be seen, consciously see. So imagine now beating your astral wings and starting to hover, to fly into the astral plane above you. And as you do that, spend the next few minutes projecting into your astral body and astral plane the following words, more or less, that you now break all karmic contracts and binds that limit or block your flow in the astral plane. You are completely free to go anywhere. Say that a few times and then just be in that space. Particularly now ask to break, to clear out of your emotional or astral body the energy of habit, of repeating yourself, of staying within your comfort zone. Ask to drop that pattern of behavior, to allow change and transformation into your life. Be able to go into unknown places in the astral plane. going on a journey somewhere astrally, but you can imagine it as a imaginative journey somewhere, anywhere, that you're going somewhere for the first time, somewhere you've never been, experiencing things you've never done, of a higher nature. As you ground again, imagine maintaining, keeping that energy of freedom as you get back into your body. Forest of up there, but you want to be able to use that emotional power here in your day-to-day life. Now, when, of course, does the astral body, emotional body particularly, start coming to ground in a person's life? During what period? Teenage years, 14 to 21. And we've covered that in various classes as well. So we're doing a meditation that's something you should ideally have developed a good basis of during that time, and that was the ability in your emotional body to both attract and repel things. So you should emotionally have the ability to push things away. Literally, it's not just with your physical hands, your astral or emotional body can repel things with a force of repulsion, meaning you don't like that situation or person or energy in your life, and therefore you push it away. And this force of repulsion or is a very elimination, is also part of it. So whenever someone's emotional body gets over intense for a short phase to catch up, usually with entry, a good example is after an epileptic fit or after a painful period. It can be typically common to have frequency of urine or defecation or sweating and or vomiting urges, and that's the emotional body eliminating from the body physically. But the same thing applies. So if you have a weak force of repulsion, it means your emotional body can become cluttered, overcrowded, or burdened with other people's stuff. Emotional junk from the world and from people you have around you, and it can feel quite toxic. So this partly is a meditation maybe to clear some backlog that's burdening your astral body now. Examples of diseases where people can't and haven't cleared their emotional junk, often they get blood vessel diseases, varicose veins or gallstones, things like that. Not only must you do that, you must also have the power to attract emotionally to you situations, people, energies, opportunities that you do want. That force of attraction is, of course, also reliant on having a strong emotional presence inside you. If your emotional body was too spaced out and too weakly grounded and incarnated, then you don't really create the magnetic pull to your physical reality. Instead, it becomes a feeling that's wishy-washy. You'd like that situation, but it doesn't happen. So to do this meditation, you're imagining a kind of both, like a sparring match. You're imagining the repulsion and the attraction, the repulsion and the attraction. And each one strengthens the other. Because if you can push away clutter, that creates the space in your emotional aura for you then to attract new stuff. And that new stuff creates new emotional charge that then gives you extra force to push more stuff away. It's not like, you push everything away and then suddenly you don't have to push anything again. It's a kind of tidal wave. And so let's try this and see where it takes you, and I might add to it. Okay. So this time, put your mind's focus on your heart, or around your heart area. And this is where we're going to activate certain emotional flows. For a moment, just have a sense of what your heart feels like inside, both as an organ, as just a general chakra or energy. Does your heart feel nice and balanced and centered, strong? Or does it feel there's anything odd about your heart? Maybe it's hard to even feel it or get into it. So now spend the next few minutes imagining your emotional energy or astral body is pushing things out, repelling them, as if you're pushing your hands away astrally, eliminating old emotional debris from others, pushing out experiences in your life that may be going on now that you don't like, pushing out people in the past who you feel are still connected to you but shouldn't be. Anything you want, try to push it away as far away as you possibly can, so it can, as if it snaps and leaves your auric space completely. You're ready, imagine that you can also now attract, ask to increase the force of attraction, so emotionally you can bring into your life situations or energy or energies. You can make it, even using a magnet, a as if you're magnetizing and attracting things to you. Take your time if you still want to push things away before you attract something new. Try also to imagine it's your heart that you're using to attract things through. The strength of your astral is through your heart. Stay centered on your heart as you come out in your own time. Better, stronger, it's partly grounding you now because we did a lot of elevating stuff, so we need to ground you on your heart muscle. And the heart really is the center of the organ which must always be involved whenever you're healing any part of your body. And one of the biggest, commonest things that's going to arise in terms of the heart, do you remember me explaining it extensively, cardiomyopathy?
Yeah.
So you know the basis of cardiomyopathy. Does anyone want to enlighten? Sorry, I've forgotten your name. You've been here before.
Mike.
Can anyone tell Mike what is cardiomyopathy or myocarditis as well? I want you to tell me causations, signs and symptoms, medical prognosis, and remedies. No, just give them a summary. Because we haven't got long, you can't hang around. All right. So basically, what happens is the heart muscle is intimately linked to the liver function, to the metabolism of your liver. So any viruses or infections that have been in your metabolism, i.e. basically mucus and inflammation anywhere, and that could be like a simple flu, But often it's things like deeper, like glandular fever, or, you know, and so on. And any vaccinations as well. That tends to go into the heart muscle, you know, and you can't see it. It happens subconsciously. The other route of, you know, things to enter are toxins, which are typically drug-related. Recreational drugs are a big one nowadays. Any recreational drug can get stored in the liver and then pass into the heart muscle. And, of course, medical drugs. But now it's bigger. I mean, it's genetic modified foods, pesticides, toxins in the diet, E-numbers, artificial sweeteners, you name it. There's just so much junk that people now absorb in their heart muscle. And the heart muscle has a remarkable ability to cope, you see, normally. It doesn't fatigue like normal skeletal muscle. You know, your muscles get tired after, you know, strenuous activity and repeated, you know, workout, like, you know, a few minutes, half an hour, whatever you're doing. But, you know, think about it. Your cardiac muscle isn't getting tired, is it? It's beating 70-odd beats a minute for the whole of your life. It's got adequate rest periods in that heart rate. Of course, you might say it does get tired if you're pushing it twice the heartbeat for it. But, you know, you can have a fast heartbeat for a couple of hours of heavy-duty running or strenuous activity, training, military training. Your heart doesn't normally have a heart attack. So the cardiac muscle takes a lot to kill it. But when it dies, it doesn't regenerate itself. It's replaced by scar tissue, classically, you know, looking at a heart attack. Now, the heart muscle also can absorb extra vitality. That's the astral body. Your astral body or emotional body is part of the strength of the heart muscle. Someone with a stronger emotional energy in their heart, and I'm talking about stronger as in not like anger, I mean stronger as in, you know, courage, joy, love, higher emotional qualities are always stronger. Their heart muscle is literally stronger and cleaner, less toxic, and regenerates, you know. Whereas someone with a negative emotional energy, chronically affecting their heart and liver, the heart muscle is getting weaker and weaker, more toxic and burdened. So it's a chicken and egg, which comes first? Do you clean the heart muscle and make it stronger, and then your emotional energy gets stronger? Or do you clear your heart emotional state and your heart muscle gets stronger? So here what we'll do is we'll directly heal your emotional cardiac muscle and see if that can help your emotional body ground better into your heart muscle. Often symptoms of an emotional disturbance in the heart include palpitations, irregular heartbeats, missed heartbeats and weak heartbeats, and of course, as I said, a weak heart contraction, which leads to problems like low blood pressure, dizzy spells, easily tired. And these are the symptoms that people are increasingly going to get and are getting. They get easily tired with low exertion and they're getting palpitations and they're often a bit breathless and a bit dizzy. And this is easy to miss because it's vague symptoms and most people think it's just poor fatigue, poor fitness levels. And then within a year or two, their heart fails completely and they're full of edema, they've got low blood pressure and they die, or they need a heart transplant. It's just like that. Your heart muscle can fail. And those early warning symptoms are one of the most easy ones to miss because they're so common as well. All right, so. Again, your attention is now on your heart. But imagine your heart muscle. There are many muscular chambers, four of course, in your heart. And imagine those muscles, the muscle tissue in your heart. And the heart generally is connected to everything else in your body, but especially to the health of your metabolism or your nourishment. Imagine that you are constantly nourishing your heart muscle from your belly, from your liver. So you can even visualize like a river of nutrients, of nourishment flowing from your liver, just on the right upper corner of your belly, to your heart. And now spend the next few minutes imagining you are cleaning your heart muscle. You can even imagine like getting a scrub and brush and cleaning them, or cleaning them with light. You can use different colours. Greens are good, and pinks, and goldens. Till your heart muscle is clean and strong again, fresh. Specifically imagine that as you clean it, you're also cleaning it of both toxins, etc., drugs, but also emotional memories, negative emotional stored memories, stored in the muscle cells. Imagine now that your heart is a home for you to live in emotionally. It's where you can truly be centered. You get a sense of that freedom when you went into the astral plane and asked to clear or cut all cords and binds. Did you? You're not just making that up. You're not just making that up. You really did feel freedom.
I went to the place where there was nothing there. It was like
nothing there.
Yeah, it was dark. And
did you ask for directions?
No, but it was strange. It was nothing.
Just wait to the astral plane, please.
No, but it was strange that it was nothing there, it was everything there, sort of. It was dark, but it was not scary.
Sometimes, I mean, there's many scenarios of what could have been going on, but one possibility for you is that if the emotional body isn't strong enough to know what it wants, then the space it enters in the astral plane is of just not wanting anything for a while, of being like in an emptiness. And that's the stage before you receive more direction, you know, in your life. So what we'll do is we'll now ground some of, because up there, the astral body, when it's free, and if, say, it were to get very free, it can get very joyful to the astral body. And, of course, the extreme state of joy is what? As a pathology, what's extreme joy as a mental illness?
Mania.
If someone was manic, that's excessive. They're very happy, joyful, but there's a drugged out, often, you know, cocaine, whatever, heightened. But what if you could activate that level of joy and then ground it? Then that means everything on earth is joyful. So that's the meditation we'll close with. To visualize and imagine that everything on earth in your life is actually really joyful right now. Everything even that you didn't think you'd like. Just imagine projecting joy to it. And because what comes first, the joy or the change in the situation? So, again, we'll focus on the heart, but this time imagining you're going to even allow the emotional energy to descend further into your belly now, into your solar plexus chakra, to ground further. So imagine that hovering above you, you've liberated certain emotional energies that are part of your nature as an angel and your freedom in the astral plane. Imagine there is joy, your joy, hovering above you, joy as an emotional substance, and ask to bring that down through your crown, down through your heart, into your solar plexus, and then project that joy into life on earth, into every part of your life, particularly the parts that you currently don't like. Have joy for everything. Sense that through projecting joy, then the world around you can truly respond and give you favorable situations. That your joy becomes two-way. joyful towards you.